How many of you have ever looked at someone else's situation that was better than yours and said, that is not fair? This is the gist of what we're talking about this morning. This is absolutely one of my favorite stories of Peter in the New Testament, because I relate probably to Peter better than most of the apostles, just because Peter messed up a lot, and I can get down with that. I get it. This one really resonates with me. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 21 today. We're going to be picking up in verse 18, looking at 18 through 22. Last week we talked about Peter's, I guess for lack of a better term, reinstatement. Where Peter is asked by Jesus if he loves him, and we kind of talked to that in detail. So today we're picking up with the text that comes directly after that. And so Jesus, in talking to Peter, kind of takes Peter away from the group a little bit. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and you walked wherever you wished." To be young. "But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now, this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Okay? "And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." All right. So one of the things that I want to talk about today, because our overriding theme for this series of sermons is the uncertain path. And one of the things that I find really fascinating about this text, as it applies probably to each and every person in this room, is that each of us is on a different path. Now, one of the things we do in Christianity is we love to overgeneralize things. And we talk about the path to salvation. And if you want to quibble, sometimes we'll argue that different denominations are on different paths. Well, this, you know, they have this path and we have this path. But in reality, everybody in this room is on a different path. Now, hopefully we're on a different path to the same end point, which is eternity with God. But we're all on a different path. And what do I mean by that? Our experiences are different. Okay? Case in point, some of you in this room still have both of your parents. Some of you in this room haven't had your parents in a very long time. Some of you in this room had your parents to a really old age. Some of you lost your parents when you were very young. Some of you have been married for years in a really great marriage. Some of you have experienced a bad marriage where things did not go well. Some of you have children who are super healthy and very successful. And some of you have kids maybe who have passed or have not been healthy, or things have set them back. We are all walking different paths. Our experiences are different. And like I said, sometimes we like to overgeneralize and make it sound like we're all on the same path. When I was in Bible college, There were students I went to school with who just made A's without effort. I was not one of them. I made C's without effort. To which my mother would say, I could have been an A student, to which I responded, why would I want to do that? But I had friends who went to school who, you know, were on scholarships and college didn't cost them much. I had friends who were probably still paying student loans off for when they were in college. Our circumstances are all different. Sometimes some of us come from great homes. Some of us came from homes that were not great. And so because of our circumstances, because of our personalities, because sometimes of our genes, and sometimes because of our circumstances, we all walk a little bit different path. And because we walk a different path, one of the things that is very common for us is to try to judge our path against somebody else's. Have any of you ever seen a person that you could not understand why God always seemed to bless them so much? It's like, that person is rotten. Why is God always hooking them up? It's like good stuff always seems to happen to them. And it's like nothing ever good happens to me. It's like that old cartoon. Any of you remember the cartoon character Droopy? Remember Droopy? What, Droopy a dog? There was a Winnie the Pooh character that was his equivalent, Eeyore. Remember, everything, not much of a tale, but it's all I have, you know. Eeyore, and everything was always bad for Eeyore. And then there was Tigger. And no matter how bad things were, Jim, are you going to start bouncing? I just completely lost train of everything that was going through my head. Because Jim Cooper started bouncing in the chair, and I was like, oh, we're going to do Tigger. The most wonderful thing about Tigger is Jim's the only one. No matter how bad things are going, Tigger was always happy. No matter how good things are going, Eeyore was never happy. And Eeyore always judged his existence against other people's. So I want you to take then and understand what is happening with Peter. Peter has just been reinstated. He's denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus has just painstakingly pointed that out in his reinstatement. And then listen to what he says to Peter. He says, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go. But Peter, in your final years, things are not going to go well for you. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be hauled off and your arms are going to be stretched out. And someone is going to gird you and take you someplace that you don't want to go. And just to be certain, John here clearly states that this was Jesus letting Peter know how he was going to die. Now, tradition tells us, how did Peter die? He was crucified. And he, not wanting to be crucified in the manner Jesus was, tradition tells us he was crucified upside down. John doesn't get into that. But the idea is pretty clear here. John says specifically, Jesus is telling him this so that he would understand what kind of death by which he would glorify God. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were Peter, what connection would you immediately make? I denied Jesus 3 times, and because of that, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get crucified. Now, does Jesus make that statement? No. How many of you have ever had something bad happen and you immediately assumed it was because of God was punishing you for some reason? And the answer is everybody in this room has done that. We've all done it. We've all convinced ourselves that something bad was happening to us because God was punishing us. And generally speaking, there's no biblical basis for that assumption. Okay? There's no biblical basis for that. But it's something that we create ourselves. We create this assumption. By the way, if God really wants to punish you, what's going to happen to you? You'll probably go to hell. That's probably how it works. But we make those connections. And so Jesus is telling Peter, look, if you were faithful to me, this is how it's going to end for you. If you had access to the cost of discipleship for the rest of your life, would you want to know? Would you want to know what fate has in store for you? I wouldn't. I don't think I'd want to know. So why does Jesus tell Peter? Why do you think, because as far as we know, Jesus never does this for anybody else. But for Peter, he lets him know, this is how it's going to end for you, big boy. This is how things are going to end for you. Why do you think he tells Peter? And the answer is, we're not really certain. We're not really sure. But what he wants Peter to understand is, Peter, this is where the path is going to take you. And the path to me is going to lead through, for you, some real hardship, some real difficulties. This is one of the biggest problems with prosperity gospel. This idea that if you are faithful to God, health and wealth are in your future. And the reason I have a real problem with that, not just because I dislike the people who generally do it, and as generally I will not mention any names because I don't have to, because you know who I'm thinking of. Most of you do. All you got to do is turn on the TV. You'll see them. They're everywhere. And one of the things that they always seem to forget in the prosperity gospel is that none of the apostles got rich being apostles. And every one of them got killed. So prosperity gospel didn't work super great for those guys. And it creates this false idea that if we're faithful in this life, we're going to have nothing but good things happen. And so what happens is we look at other people who are doing better than us, and the assumption we immediately make is what? Well, that person must be better than me because they're getting blessed more than me. By the way, do you know that some of the wealthiest people in the world are evil? Why do you suppose that is? Because God is blessing them? No, because they're evil. And that's how they amassed their fortunes, by being evil. Have any of you ever, any of you familiar at all with the story of McDonald's and how McDonald's became McDonald's? These two brothers in California had a fast food place, very successful. This ice cream machine salesman named Ray Kroc shows up and essentially buys into their business and essentially steals the thing and becomes filthy rich. And those guys never made a penny outside of their initial buy-in of all of it. Now, some people would say that he cheated them. He didn't cheat them necessarily. He paid them. They agreed to it. Not a good decision. But he made probably billions of dollars at the expense of somebody else. That story is repeated throughout history. If you've ever watched one of my favorite shows, you'll never guess why, The Food That Built America. Me and Jim love that show. We talk about it at lunch sometimes. If you've ever watched it on the History Channel, that's a great show. But you know what? You find out how sleazy and dirty some of the people who are the founders of some of these companies are that you enjoy their food so much. Some of these people were ruthless. They were ruthless. And that's how they made a fortune. Did God bless them? No. No. And so we can't connect everything that's happening in this world to blessings and stuff. And so when we're really playing a fool's game and we try to judge our faithfulness against somebody else's faithfulness based on how we perceive they're being blessed. It's not how it works. But Jesus tells Peter, he says, Peter, this is what's going to happen. Now, I want you to notice the last thing Jesus says in verse 19 after he tells Peter, Peter, if you're faithful to me, this is how you're going to end. Now keep in mind, Peter has watched Jesus die of a crucifixion. That's important. He knows what the process, how agonizing it is, and how hard it is. And so after Jesus tells Peter this, what does he say to him? Follow me. Peter, I'm telling you how hard this is going to be for you. Do you still want to follow me? Now, why is Jesus doing this? Because Peter has denied Jesus three times? Is that why? Maybe. Is it because Jesus wants Peter to be kind of the leader of the disciples and he needs to know that he's on board? Maybe. But ultimately what this comes down to is, Peter, this is not going to be an easy walk for you. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you would say in your experience, being a Christian for you has not been that hard? I'm surprised at the few number of hands that went up. How many of you have ever lost a job because you were a Christian? How many of you have ever suffered financial hardship because you were a Christian? How many of you have ever been beaten senseless because you were a Christian? Not many of us. Any of you ever been in prison because you were a Christian? Some of you are going, no, but I was in prison because I wasn't. I did a couple of days, you know. The reality is most of us have never suffered any real trauma for our faith. For us, in America, because of the freedom of religion, yeah, we do have people who are inconvenienced for their faith. That's certainly true. But when you compare your walk in Christ to the walk of people in countries where Christianity is not legal, a good number of countries in the Muslim world where Christians don't know from day to day if they're going to live to see another sunrise, in places like China and North Korea, that there are places in the world where Christianity is incredibly dangerous. And they would probably look at us and go, wow, Christianity for you guys is super easy. Would they be right? Yeah. Compared to most people in the world, Christianity in America is pretty easy. And yet, it's still a struggle sometimes. What's the struggle? Well, the struggle is doing the right thing. When you want to punch somebody in the face, and you know, Jesus probably would frown on that. Yeah? When you want to tell somebody off and you're like, yeah, Jesus probably would not want me to say some of the things I want to say to that person. We understand those struggles. But Jesus is telling Peter, look, if you're faithful to me, this is the ultimate price that you're going to pay. And then he looks at him and he says, follow me. Now, what comes next is why I love Peter probably more than anybody in the New Testament outside of Jesus. Can we go to the next slide? Oh, we already did. Thank you. Good job, Catherine. Catherine's ahead of the game this morning. She's like, Woodley, I'm ahead of you. Verse 20. So, again, you've got to understand the way this is flowing. Jesus has just told Peter how he's going to die, and here's Peter's first response. He doesn't say, Jesus, spare me. He turns around and he saw John. Says he saw the disciple. And by the way, John, I love the way it's John instead of just saying he saw me. I love the way John describes himself. He saw the disciple that Jesus loved following them. The one who, by the way, had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? That's the most wordy way of saying he saw me. And I love the fact that John wants all his readers to know Jesus loved me more than Peter. I love that. These guys are, I mean, you see the human element of Peter and John so well in this passage. Peter turns around and he sees John. And seeing him, he looks at Jesus and goes, what about him? Is that the most human answer ever? Peter, I got good news and bad news, Peter. What's the good news? I've restored you. We're good. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. I've restored you. You're good. Everything's good between us. We're awesome. What's the bad news? Well, you're going to get crucified someday. And Peter's first statement is, what about that guy? It's not, oh, please don't do this to me, or Lord, I don't want this to happen. He goes, well, what about that guy? Is he going to get crucified too? Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to be serious because this is an important question, I think, as it pertains to how we perceive our brothers and sisters in Christ and our own walk with God. Why did he ask that question? Well, if I'm going to get crucified, I mean, I hope you're going to do something equally horrendous to that guy. Does that sound like a loving relationship to you? I mean, if you come up to me and said, Stuart, look, next 10 years, gonna be hard, man. You're gonna do a little suffering. I mean, can you imagine what kind of person I'd sound like? I said, well, what about Smartnik? Suffers every day. I just got to catch up with Jimmy. That would be Jimmy's answer. You know, it's like, I mean, what kind of friend would that sound like? It's like, Stuart, you're going to suffer some next 10 years. Fine. Is Smartnik going to suffer with me? What about Klee? I want to drag him with me. Donica, take him too. We're all going to suffer together. You would look at me like, what kind of jerk preacher are you? Well, Lord, if somebody has to suffer, let it be me. Don't let anyone else suffer. No, not Peter. Like, what about him? You going to get him too? I hope you got something in store for this guy. Now, it sounds funny, but here's why this is so important. Because there is an element of this in each of us. That we tend to judge our walk and our path by other people's walk and path. And that's not how it works. There is a path for you to walk. It's so individual. It's not even always the same path as our spouse or our children or our parents. Sometimes we have to suffer things. We have to walk a path that is not easy. Some of us get to walk a fairly easy path. I have a lot of friends that I went to school with who have children who have gone through nothing like what Caleb went through. And I'm jealous of them sometimes. But you know what? I have friends who have lost children to cancer and car accidents. I still have mine. So, who won? I have friends who have children who have been raised in a good Christian home who have turned their back on their faith and walked away from God. I don't have that. And those kids were raised just as good as mine were. But those children have walked away from the faith. And so the reality is that we walk this path and we look at other people and we're so busy looking at other people and their path that you know what we're not paying attention to? The path we're on. Because we want to walk somebody else's path. You see this in Corinth when they're squabbling over spiritual gifts. And it's like, well, you got this spiritual gift. I wish I had that one. I have a spiritual gift, but my spiritual gift is lame. I wish I had somebody else's. And some of you, you know what that's like where you have a gift, but you don't think your gift is cool. You wish you had somebody else's gift. You wish you were walking somebody else's path. I wish I could do what they do. I stand up here every Sunday and I piddle on the bass guitar. And every Sunday I look over and wish I could play drums like Doug. Because when I was a kid, that's what I wanted to be a drummer. And they wouldn't let me play drums in band because they had too many drummers. So they stuck a trumpet in my mouth. And so I played trumpet for 2 years. And then I was like, nope, I'm done. And then I wouldn't take piano lessons. And then it wasn't until I was in my 30s where I was like, man, I wish I could play an instrument. And then a friend of mine said, oh, any idiot can play the bass. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's right. I could play learn to play the bass a little bit. But would I rather be able to play the drums or the guitar? I tell people if I could just be like Jeff Lynn Davis over here. I still think Ken looks like the guy from ELO. And would it be cool if I could play the guitar? You know, maybe, but that's not the path I'm on. That, by the way, partly my fault. Sometimes the path we're on is the path we chose. Sometimes the path we're on, we didn't choose the path. But the reality is our path is different than everybody else's. And when we spend all of our time worried about someone else and their path, we can't effectively walk ours. One of the best things I ever heard was from my driver's ed instructor. And he said, you can never effectively drive forward if you're looking in your rearview mirror. He says, if you're looking at where you've been, you cannot see where you're going. You check the rearview occasionally, but you don't stare at it, because if you're staring at that, you're going to run off the road. And by the way, there are a number of Christians who have ended up in a ditch because they were so busy looking at somebody else's path, they weren't paying attention to the one they were on. And so we see this with Peter. Peter, listen, man, I love you. Do you love me? I do. Peter, do you love me? I do. Peter, do you love me? I do. That's awesome. You're going to get crucified someday, but I still want you to follow me. What about that guy? Now, I want you to listen to Jesus' response. This is a guy who's been dealing with this nonsense for 3 years. He's died and now come back to earth, and he still gets to deal with Peter and John's nonsense. And so listen to what Jesus says in verse 22. Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Mind your own business, Peter. Stop worrying about everybody else. Stop worrying about everybody else. There's a great line that Paul uses in his ministry, and I won't even pretend to remember which letter it's in, but I know it's in one of them. If you make me look it up, I'll tell it to you later. But Paul talks about how he buffets his body daily, and he says, lest having led so many others to Christ, I myself might fall short. You know what Paul's saying there? He said, I have to make sure I walk my path and not worry about everybody else, lest one day I don't complete my journey because I was so worried about somebody else's path, I didn't complete my own. Have any of you ever spent an excessive amount of time worried about somebody else's business? Any of you ever done that? You were so worried about what somebody else was doing that you weren't really paying attention to what you were doing. I call this the spiritual equivalent of messing on your phone while you're driving, where you're so worried about what's happening on Twitter or Facebook that you run into the car in front of you because you're not watching where you're going, you're watching what everybody else is doing. That's the spiritual equivalent of what we're talking about here. Jesus looks at Peter and he says, what business is it of yours, Peter, if I want John to be alive when I come back again? Why is that any of your concern? Mind your business. Take care of what I've put in front of you. And I've had to learn that as a minister. As a minister, you know, because sometimes ministers, we all get together and we have lunch and we talk, and we talk about what's going on in other people's churches, and you know, we all have opinion. You'd be amazed to find out that all of us have opinions. And we have opinions about other people's stuff, don't we, Jim? Yep. Now, Jim never says his opinion.
I'm smart.
But, Jim, who does? If you ask me, I'll tell you. I'll give you my opinion. They're free. I hand them out like candy. You know what I had to learn at some point? I probably should spend more attention worrying about the church I work at than everybody else's church. Right? Sometimes you're better off worrying about your own marriage than worrying about somebody else's marriage. Sometimes you're better off raising your own kids than trying to tell other people how to raise theirs. there is a principle at play that sometimes we need to pay attention to the path we're on first before we worry about somebody else's. I think Jesus summed that up in this great line. Get the plank out of your own eye before you do what? Try to take the speck out of somebody else's. Isn't that how that goes? And so here, at the end of all things, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, now Jesus is on the beach with these guys, and Peter and John. And by the way, let me point out that Jesus took Peter away from the group. Who followed him? John. Because John was as bad as Peter. He couldn't stand to know what Jesus was talking about with Peter. He had to know, so he followed him so he could listen. He's as guilty as Peter in this verse, which maybe is why it irritated Peter. Well, what about that guy? By the way, Peter beat John to heaven by a long ways. He got there a lot sooner than John. John had to suffer on an island where he was stranded for years in exile. John went through a lot of stuff. Didn't get crucified. But the point that I want to make sure we understand is that Peter, even in all the maturity that he's developed and all his understanding, still has this inclination to want to worry about somebody else's path. And so here's what I want to communicate today to each and every one of you. You are on an individual path with Christ. And sometimes, whether it's as a husband and wife, or as parents and children, or maybe just as best friends, you'll spend some time walking on that path with other people. You'll be on the path at the same time together, and you'll walk that path together. But then there may be periods where the paths diverge and separate a little bit because you're going through different things. You're at different places in your life. You're dealing with different problems. You're dealing with different spiritual challenges. And so the paths, they may diverge a little. Sometimes you feel like you're walking on the path with a bunch of people and you feel like, man, I'm surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. This is amazing. And guess what? Sometimes you're walking on the path and you look around and who else is there? It's just me and Jesus. But whatever path you're on your own path. Just like Peter was. As connected as Peter and John were in their apostleship and their responsibilities, their paths to eternity were going to be vastly different. Would they intersect at times? Yes. Would they do things together after Pentecost? Yes, they would. There are times when their paths were the exact same one. But there are also times when those paths separate. Now, as the praise team comes to lead us in our communion time this morning, I want to make sure you understand this. I don't know where your path, what path you're on. I don't know if you're walking on it with other people. Some of you may right now be at a place in your life where you feel pretty isolated and alone on that path. I don't know what the future holds for anybody, let alone me. I don't know where my path is going to lead. I hope it's a pretty simple path. But you know what? I've been around long enough to know it can be simple today. And guess what it could be tomorrow? It could be a whole different path. But here's what you need to know. As long as the path is leading to eternity and you're walking it with the Father, it's the path you're supposed to be on. And if it gets hard, sometimes it does. And just because the path is difficult doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. In fact, sometimes that's an indicator you're on the right one. But don't judge your path based on somebody else's path. That's not how it works. And there has been many a Christian who has gotten angry and quit the path because other people's paths seem easier and they were angry and bitter about it. Don't be that person. Walk your path, travel with God, trust the direction He will take you in.